Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Hour number two on a Top 10 Tuesday in the Doghouse. If you missed our Top 10 today, it's the 10 things that I love most about spring in the, spring is today, 11:15 this morning. Doesn't feel like spring out there right now. It's not going to feel like spring tonight here in the dirty south either, but it is spring. There's no doubt about it. So we ran, it's a great sports season. It really is. Joined now by a guy that does a tremendous job for VegasInsider.com. He's a regular on the show. Kevin Rogers joins us. K-Rog, welcome in. How are you, man?
Tom, good to talk to you again.
We get tournament, right? We get a Final Four. We get baseball. We get the Masters. We get Talladega and the Indy 500. We get spring football. I mean, spring doesn't suck for sports. It's a pretty good little season for sports, don't you think?
Well, after the first two on your list, I kind of stopped after that because I enjoy March Madness, the NBA, and baseball. I don't really get into the Masters, or a lot of people do. But I know Tiger will obviously be a big deal in the Masters. But, yeah, there's a lot going on, definitely for the next few months with all the playoffs going on and all these sports. And baseball's a weird start that begins on Thursday, which you never really see. And, yeah, there's definitely – it never ends. It never really does until you get to summertime, then it kind of ends for a little bit.
Ends a little bit in the summertime. I mean, but other than that, I mean, we got the NFL draft. We got new uniforms being revealed by the Titans and the Jags. There's all kinds of neat things that happen, I think, in the spring. And one of them, which is the tradition of my bracket getting blown to hell. How did you do? Because I got my championship game was Michigan State over UNC. I don't think that was an outrageous pick for that to not survive to the second week of the tournament.
Well, in full disclosure, I put out my bracket the day of, on Thursday morning. I was kind of pressured into doing it because I really wasn't going to do it, but I decided to put one together, and I have three of the final four left. The only one I lost was Arizona. I still have Villanova, Kansas, and Gonzaga. I did have Texas Tech and Nevada getting to the Sweet 16, but other than that, that's it. Like, there's nothing really... The South, nobody got the South right, obviously, unless, you're a Kentucky homer. You took Kentucky to go, a few rounds, which wasn't asking a lot. But, it definitely has been a very unpredictable tournament. In the end, you'll probably have all the blue bloods there anyway, but it is nice to see some schools that don't really get a lot of recognition that they're making it to this point. And it's also good to see some of the schools that get a lot of recognition get bounced already. So it works both ways.
I did have Kentucky to the Final Four, and it's not because I'm a Kentucky homer. I thought Kentucky would be the one to take out Arizona. But I thought that Tennessee was going to be better as well. I didn't see them losing to Loyola Chicago. Is the carnage in this one, and from what I understand, mine is really, really bad, but I only got six teams left, in a Sweet 16. I mean, that's just stupid. But beyond that, from what I understand, there's a lot of carnage here in this deal, a lot of brackets blown out. Is this bad basketball, or is this great parity? I mean, is this a bunch of really good teams that can all play, or are we suffering from, some bad basketball out there?
I think it's more parity than bad basketball. I think these teams are just a lot closer than we really think that they are, and I don't really think you have any dominant teams per se. I mean, Villanova's an excellent team. Duke is very good with all the freshmen they have, but obviously the number one point is Virginia, and they were the number one seed, and they faced a Maryland Baltimore County team that really we knew nothing about. And I always go back to this, and I say that our biggest problem in college basketball, as opposed to other sports, I mean, even college football, the Sun Belt gets TV time, the MAC gets TV time, that we don't see any of these smaller schools. There's just so many of them that we're so shocked when UMBC or even to a certain extent Nevada or Loyola Chicago, they are able to do things and hang with these teams, and they're just better than we thought because we never see them. We're always seeing Duke and North Carolina and Villanova and Kansas and the same teams over and over and over again that we're just totally floored if anybody else can be competitive. And, I mean, with Virginia, they're, you know, they say defense wins championships. No, you need to score two. Like, you can't win games 2-0, you know, so you need to score. And UMBC shot the ball well. Virginia couldn't score. And if anybody can shoot the ball well in Virginia, they're done. And I will say, though, the one thing I don't understand, which, and I'm not a Virginia homer or anything, but just kind of from an observatory standpoint, was why didn't Virginia, as the top overall seed, why didn't they draw one of the play-in teams? Why did they get, like, in a sense, the best 16 seed out of the four?
Yeah, that's a good question. You would think that they would have gotten, the winner of one of the other games. You know that they would have picked up like Xavier, for example. They were the last of the four one seeds. Yet they got the winner of the Texas Southern game. You know, they got Texas Southern. North Carolina
Central.
Yeah, North Carolina Central, Texas Southern game. Xavier got that team, which you would feel like is probably the last team in, where Virginia got the welding school or whatever that is out of Baltimore County. You know, I don't even know what that is, like a trade school, a radio school or something like that.
Well, also Texas Southern, if I'm not mistaken, was an under 500 team. So
that's what I mean,
that
yeah.
Should be the team that's like the last one in the tournament. And if they win their play-in game, well, I mean, if it was North Carolina Central, those teams are just so far down the totem pole that Virginia should have the advantage of playing them. Now, when you look at UMBC, I know people pointed out on Twitter that they lost to Albany by 40-something points. They lost to another team, that America East, that was really bad. But somehow they found a way to win their tournament. They knocked out Vermont, who's always the top team in that conference. And, you know, look, in the best of one, you shoot lights out, and the other team can't. That's the difference. You know, all these other number one seeds can score. Virginia can't score. They depend on winning games 60-40, you know, or 47-30 something. Like, they depend on winning those games that way. And just when it went haywire, this is what happened.
Yeah. Kevin Rogers with us, VegasInsider.com. All right, let's look at some of the games and some of the lines. Let's start with Syracuse and Duke. Because the Cuse is getting like 11.5 from the Dukies, and it's not like they've never seen them before. They play in the same conference, so there's a familiarity there. I'm kind of liking Syracuse getting that kind of wood, or is that this is it? The Cinderella slipper is off of Jim Boeheim, and Syracuse and Duke blows them out.
You know, I think a lot of people want to take Syracuse because they see all those points there, because Boeheim has done such a great job, and he has. I mean, Syracuse shouldn't have been in the tournament, and they win their play-in game against Arizona State, a game they could have lost. They end up beating TCU, a pretty good team in the first round. They edged Michigan State, a really good team who was near the top of the rankings all season long. And now you got a team like Duke, and Duke is just, you know, I mean, the first two games, blowouts against Iona and Rhode Island. And, I mean, they're just a loaded team right now. And I don't think it's asking a lot for Duke to win this game by at least 12 points because they have the offense. And you know what? Defensively, if you look at what they've done since losing to North Carolina back in, I guess, February it was, their defensive numbers are unbelievable. I think they've allowed over maybe 75, I want to say, once in this span. And they've just been terrific that if Syracuse can't score because they depend on their defense, if Duke can solve the zone, then I think that Duke can blow them out.
So got another ACC team, Clemson, who blew out Auburn. They draw now Kansas, and Kansas is a 4.5-point favorite. How much of that is on reputation? Should they be 4.5-point favorites over a Clemson team that's hitting on all cylinders right now?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a reputation. They're playing in Omaha, so they're not going far. I mean, Kansas traveled to Wichita. Now they're going home. They're going back to Omaha. So they're barely leaving, you know, the state, in a sense, by playing up there. And Clemson, you know, went to San Diego. They got to go back to Clemson and then go up to Omaha. So it's a lot of travel for them. And obviously an incredibly impressive performance by Clemson against Auburn. And I think we all kind of, you know, saw that Auburn – was not going to, you know, maybe go very far, that they played way above their heads this year. I mean, both them and Tennessee won 13 games in the SEC and couldn't get out of the first weekend. But when you look at Clemson, I mean, yeah, I think they're definitely worth a look against Kansas. And you're right, because of reputation with the Jayhawks, that, you know, they were laying 4.5 to Seton Hall and then laid 4.5 to Clemson, you know, and I think, you know, Clemson has had a better season than Seton Hall. And I just look at Clemson, that they have to be playing with a lot of confidence right now. They've looked very good in their first two games. Mexico State was a tough team that they handled. Auburn they handled. And despite the travel, I think Clemson has to feel pretty confident going into the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Texas A&M is a team that did not win 13 games in the SEC, but they did knock out North Carolina, and they were ranked number 5 in the country at one particular point in time. Michigan, which is a team that I did like to this point, they're one of the few teams I got left in a Sweet 16. Michigan gets, you know, gives 2.5 points or so to Texas A&M. I'm not sure it's enough. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, you're right about Texas A&M. This was a team that totally underachieved to start SEC play. They were almost forgotten about it. It felt like all throughout SEC season, because the storylines were Auburn, Tennessee, and then even Kentucky not being Kentucky, and you see where they're at. They're probably still going to go to the Final Four when it's all said and done. But Texas A&M was a team that last year was, what, top 4 or 5 in the SEC, and that they just had a bad start in conference play. People forgot about them. And you saw what they did to a really good North Carolina team, the defending national champions. And they're not going to be afraid of Michigan. And I really wonder how Michigan's going to respond after they had that buzzer-beating win against Houston last week. And, you know, for Michigan, yes, I understand these guys are all going to be, you know, they're going to be ready for these games. But it was amazing that they were able to still do what they did, even with that layoff, you know, that the Big Ten tournament was a week before. They had the extra week off. And, you know, now you see, you know, who's left out of the Big Ten. It's Michigan and Purdue. And that's it. Michigan State got knocked out. Ohio State got knocked out. So, you know, we'll see how it's going to affect them now. But I think that Texas A&M is a team that people are really undervaluing at this point. And I think people like seeing Michigan because Michigan's a national name and because of what they just did, that Texas A&M could definitely beat them.
Kentucky, I mean, they get K-State. K-State's not a Cinderella. They took out the Cinderella. But, you know, they get a K-State team. I think this is a 5v9 type of game with Kentucky as a 5 seed. I liked Kentucky, even though they look great in these two tournament games, but they win. They just do that thing. You know, they win. We'll see how far they can take this deal. But they're a 5.5-point favorite over K-State. Is that like Kansas? How much of that is name value?
It's definitely there. And they're playing Atlanta, so they're going to have a good contingent, you know, there of Kentucky fans. And
oh, yeah.
I just wonder if people are looking at Kentucky and saying that, all right, this isn't a lot of points. Kansas State did a 16 seed, and it was an ugly game. But, I mean, look, if you want to go the opposite way with Kansas State and just compliment them for a second, UMBC shot lights out against Virginia, who's supposed to be the best defensive team in the country. What did Kansas State hold them to, 40-something points? Even though Kansas State didn't score a lot of points, they still held UMBC to 40-something points, which, you know, is still a major achievement. That's still very good. And they beat, you know, a pretty good Creighton team in the first round of the tournament. And, you know, on the flip side, if you want to look at Kentucky, they avoided Arizona. They beat in the first round, Kentucky beat Davidson, and that was kind of a tough game. Then they beat Buffalo. Like, they really haven't played great competition. Like, I'm not calling Kansas State elite competition, but the Big 12 was loaded this year. And Davidson should not have been in the tournament. They won the Atlantic 10 to get in. Buffalo was a decent team, and they pretty much, I guess, left all out there against Arizona in the first round. So Kentucky really hasn't been tested so far in this tournament. So, you know, again, if Kentucky moves on, would not be shocking at all. But I think Kansas State can give them a run for their money simply because I think people undervalue K-State because of just playing a 16 seed and because of Kentucky's name. But really, you know, Kentucky's played already 2 double-digit seeds.
Yeah, no doubt. Kevin Rogers with us, VegasInsider.com. All right, before I let you go, I want to talk baseball for a second because the opening day is coming March 29th. You said it on a Wednesday. It's earlier this year. But again, baseball just can't stop screwing this deal up. You know, they were opening for a while there. They were opening on the day of the national championship in basketball. And I said you should start on Tuesday because let the NBA get all, or let the NCAA national champion get all their love, and then you'll get coverage the rest of that week for your opening week. Now they go the week before, and I'm like, okay, that's not a bad idea. They must be opening on Tuesday, right? The week before, so that they run the, you know, the they get all the above the fold media. No, they open on Wednesday, so that the next day, you know, you got tournament talk and all that stuff. But in any event, we're getting ready to start this thing. Is it unfair in a way because it's starting like in Miami, and then the next day it's going to be all in either dome stadiums or southern cities? Is there an advantage at all for these southern teams and dome teams that they get all of these opening week games, if you will, because of you know, because they're starting so early this year?
Well, I believe it all starts on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. That everything, it all gets going then. But I will, well, a couple things. I will go back to your point about the national championship. That you got to remember, a lot of those games start in the afternoon. So, and the national championship just starts like 9:15 at night. So I'd have a problem with them starting on Monday to kind of fill the day until basketball. And then you have like Angels Mariners, you know, as your later game competing with the national championship. But regardless of that fact, I understand that they've had problems over the last few years with bad weather, and you have to avoid Detroit and New York and Chicago and Boston and Philadelphia, that all these places, it's gotten cold in April and it's just disgusting weather. I mean, I really think that you should go for as long as possible to avoid all these bad weather that, unfortunately, like, I mean, the Marlins, like, they play in an indoor stadium, it's always going to be nice there. But I think the Marlins and the Rays and all that, I think a lot of their series should be front-loaded. I think you should try to get through the first 2 weeks and have them play a ton of games at home, or, you know, a lot of these East Coast teams, let them travel out west and split it up with the National League West, that the Phillies would play the Dodgers and the Mets would play the Giants, and you just have all that to avoid any kind of weather issues. That's what I think you should do for the first few weeks, so you don't have these problems where Minnesota's playing at Detroit and two games get knocked out because of bad weather.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna run some win totals and just get a quick take on you on some popular teams, and I just want to get your thought over or under on some of these. These are Vegas numbers for win totals. The Dodgers and the Astros are at 96.5. What do you think about those two, over or under?
You know, it's always hard to think that these teams will repeat what they've done. The only reason why I'd say the Astros would go over, they just picked up Garrett Cole. They have Verlander. They have Keuchel. They're loaded. And they have all those pitchers. If they stay healthy, they should be able to win it. But also, you know, you got to look at their divisions. That's kind of the main thing when I look at with these teams, that the Dodgers, for instance, who they play 18 times a year. The Padres, okay, who are going to be a little improved but still not a playoff team. The Giants are trying to figure out their identity. The Rockies and Diamondbacks, who likely will take a step back after last year. But at the same time, the Dodgers had that crazy 42-8 stretch at one time last year.
Right.
And you're depending on Clayton Kershaw to stay healthy. I think the Dodgers go under this year.
Cubs are 94.5. Disappointing year after they won the World Series. I thought they'd be, you know, in that thing for two or three years in a row with that lineup. And now they're at 94.5. No Jake Arrieta. A little bit of a shakeup in their rotation.
I go under on them, too. You know, I mean, the Brewers are definitely improved. The Cardinals, I think, will come back, and I understand the Pirates have taken a step back. They lost McCutcheon and Garrett Cole, and the Reds are going to be at the bottom of the division. But you mentioned Arrieta going to the Phillies. That, I mean, the Cubs, they'll still probably win that division, but I think they kind of know that they just need to get enough wins to win it. That after winning the World Series 2 years ago, I think that the thrill is gone in a sense with them. I think they just want to get there and, you know, I don't really know what they're really trying to, you know, they're not going to try to kill themselves in the regular season, I don't think. I think they can win 90-something games, 90 in the low 90s and finish under.
Yankees are at 94.5. Sports Illustrated has them going to the World Series and losing to the Nats, but they also put Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge on the cover of their baseball preview. So I fully expect, you know, the bat to come flying out of Stanton's hand and hit Judge on the head, and then Stanton will trip over first base and break his ankle, and they'll both be out for the season by May. But 94.5 for the Yanks. What do you think?
Who's going to be their ace? Like, what? I mean, I know they have Severino, but, you know, who's going to be their pitching staff? Like, who's going to lead them?
Tanaka doesn't.
It can't just be
Severino, Tanaka,
Giancarlo Stanton, any home runs. It can't just be it. And I think that we were misled by them coming back from 2-0 down to beat Cleveland. from them forcing a game seven against Houston. They had a great playoff run. They did. And, I mean, who's going to be their aces? What are they? Is Severino going to repeat what he did last year? I think it's crazy that in that division, which is ultra competitive, that they would win that many games. I'm not saying they're kind of a bad season, but they can still finish under and have a decent season with 87 games.
Yeah, the guy I'm worried about in rotation is CeCe Sabathia, because he gave them a really nice year and he signed a one-year deal. And you know, at some point in time, that's going to completely go Bartolo Colon and be gone. But, I like Sonny Gray. I like Tanaka. You know, I like Severino. I mean, you got three guys there that are capable of all winning 15 games. You know, I think they could be all right. Sonny Gray is the key to me. How good is Sonny Gray a full year in pinstripes? That's the one that's key.
I mean, I think that he'll be better, you would hope, than in Oakland, because he has more offense to deal with than what he had with the A's, that, you know, he had to, you know, try to win games, you know, low scoring. But I think now that, you know, all the trade rumors are done and he's there, I think, you know, he should have a better season. But, again, I'm not trying to say the Yankees are not going to have a good season, but I just think that the expectations are high because of the name their jersey. I think that's just what it is, that, you know, they totally overachieved in the postseason. And it could be, and you have a brand new manager, Aaron Boone. Like, well, we'll see how that turns out, too. People are forgetting that.
I think they should have the same number as the Red Sox. I think the Yankees and the Red Sox should be right next to each other. And the Red Sox are 91.5. I think both teams, I think you could have a good time setting those two teams up and say, who's going to win more games, the Red Sox or the Yankees? The Yankees are at 94.5. The Red Sox at 91.5. They both should be 91.5, and let's see who's better. But what do you think of the Sox at 91.5?
Again, it's all about the pitching with them. If Chris Sale, who had a great start, can have a great finish, and David Price is healthy, that 1-2 punch is one of the best in baseball, you know, and then that blows away whatever the Yankees have. Now, obviously, Pedroia is banged up right now, and the Red Sox still have some decent bats in their lineup, but that's kind of where it is, that if Chris Sale can keep it up and David Price returns to what he was, I think, the Red Sox can go over their win total.
Always appreciate you. Good stuff. I love talking country hardball with you when that gets going, but we still got this tournament to get through as well. Kevin Rogers has been our guest. You can find him at VegasInsider.com. Click on the VI Experts. You can buy his picks. He's red hot in the NBA. He kills it. And he'll help you out with baseball, too, if you like a little daily action with the baseball when that gets started. K-Raj, appreciate you.
All right, Tom. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, let's grab a break. When we come back, Joe Rexroad is up next. The Titans have made a couple of moves, obviously, with the Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler. Are they in on the Ndamukong Suh deal? And we'll talk a little bit about that with Joe Rexroad and where he thinks they go in the draft. We'll do that next right here on 730-1039 AM.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The UMP.
When your small business is growing, you get familiar with the phrase, that's a good problem to have. Good problem one, you're too busy to answer the phone. Solution, Uma Office. Its virtual receptionist directs calls to the right extension. Number two, new business is keeping you from the office. Solution, an Uma mobile app that helps you take calls from anywhere. And three, it starts at just $19.95 a month. Well, no problem there. Just good. Visit Uma.com. That's OOMA. Or call 866-840-8792 to find out more.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The UMP.
It's Alabama baseball. The 16-5 Crimson Tide will be heading to UAB to take on the Blazers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m. all right here on The UMP.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
If your skin could talk, would you listen?
As your skin, I forgive you. I forgive you for poking and popping me when I broke out at 14. I forgive you for that awful bell ring hole you left in me when you were 15. I forgive you for damaging me before prom, on spring break, and at tanning salons when you were 16, 17, 18. But I'm your skin, and if you continue to tan, I hope you can forgive me. Forgive me when wrinkles begin to show and I start developing age spots. Forgive me if I develop melanoma when you're only 22. So please, I'm asking you to stop. Stop tanning now. Our future depends on it.
Protect your skin from melanoma, the second most common cancer in young women 15 to 29 years old. And protect your future. Learn more at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on safy.org.
An important message from Medicare. Between your doctor visits, taking the right medications at the right times, and following advice from different doctors, managing two or more chronic conditions, like high blood pressure, arthritis, or diabetes, can be overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be. Chronic Care Management Services can help you get the connected care you need by connecting the dots between your medical appointments, pharmacy, and hospital visits. Your doctor will work with you to create a care plan and check in with you between visits, keeping you on track and helping you with your health goals so you can spend more time doing what you love. If you have Medicare, ask your doctor about Chronic Care Management Services and get the connected care you need. For more information, visit Medicare.gov and search for Chronic Care Management. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Weather sponsored by Kubota. Ever wonder what's behind those orange tractors? Kubota offers efficient engineering from ag to construction, from zero-turn mowers to RTVs. Find a dealer at gokubota.com.
A breezy and cold afternoon, cloudy with a chance of some light rain at times, temperatures falling through the 40s. For tonight, gradual clearing, the low at 33, then rain-free weather tomorrow and Thursday, the sky mostly sunny both days, the high tomorrow 55, the high Thursday at 60. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
You know, the Tennessean over the years has had some great, great columnists and some guys that I became very, very fond of, especially in my time in Nashville and even before that, Joe Biddle and David Clymer and guys like that. There's been some incredible talent, but I am quickly becoming a big fan of Joe Rexroad. I mean, I really like his stuff. I mean, he's right there with those guys in terms of following in those footsteps. And he joins us now to talk a little bit about the Titans and what could be coming here with some still remaining free agent action and, of course, the draft coming up. And he joins us on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Joe, welcome back. How are you, man?
Thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate that.
Well, look, Biddle and Clymer, I mean, those guys are Tennessean legends, right? I mean, so, you know, it's a big shoes to fill.
No question about it. And I've talked to both those guys, and they've been really nice, and yeah, absolutely. I don't like the comparisons because I don't like it's just hard following those footsteps. But
sure.
But they were awesome, and I would read those guys from time to time. But it's funny, once I got the job, I went back and read a lot of their stuff, both of them, and others too, Jimmy Davey and, you know, some of these other people. They've had a lot of really good people here.
Well, when I started in Alabama in 2004, they were both regular guests because, you know, obviously just 90 miles south of Nashville, that becomes a topic for us. And then I was in Nashville proper for 7 years, and so then, you know, became even more so. And, in fact, Biddle and I were on the same radio station for a while as well. So yeah, I got to know those guys really well. Let's talk a little bit about this Titans team. Is there anybody left from the Patriots that they can reach out and grab? I mean, I'm pretty sure that Mike Vrabel got all the Patriots he can get, right? Deion Lewis comes in, and of course, Malcolm Butler. You know, with Butler, you get a little bit of baggage, but, you know, certainly somebody that's a plug-and-play guy for that Titans defense.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, high cost, too. I mean, that's, yeah. You know, that's pretty big money for Malcolm Butler. But like you said, I mean, you add him to this, and, of course, Logan Ryan, another guy from the Pats who helped recruit him here. They put those guys in the same secondary, Dory Jackson, who I think – you know, still has a lot of upside and had a good rookie year. That those guys with Kevin Byard now, that's a pretty good secondary, and that's a much better secondary than you had for this team, just going back to the 2016. And I like Deion Lewis. I like that addition. I think that's a great compliment and contrast to Derrick Henry. And the Titans saw firsthand, you know, for most of that game against the Patriots in the playoffs, that was their offense, was Tom Brady sending little – week passes out to Deion Lewis and just moving the chains, and eventually they hit some stuff downfield. But he's obviously a productive guy. You always wonder about those New England guys. You know, they've cast off so many productive players who then don't match that productivity elsewhere. Right. But it's hard for me to imagine Deion Lewis not being a good player for the next couple of years for the Titans.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of times they take in guys who end up being a lot more productive just when they're with them. I remember the day that LeGarrette Blount made the Titans, and then the next day when he was cut from the Titans to make room, you know, for a special teamer, and then hearing Jeff Fisher say, well, he just didn't fit and so on, and I thought, man, you know, that guy. And then he went on, he's had a pretty nice little career, although he's played for a number of teams, which might tell you something as well. The Deion Lewis thing is very interesting. A lot of Derrick Henry fans down here, obviously. And Deion Lewis is making $5 million. Derrick Henry's making $700,000. You use the word complimentary, which I think is interesting, and I agree with that from a play standpoint, but I wonder if at $5 million, did they bring him here to compliment Derrick Henry, or did they bring him here and is Derrick Henry still in the 11, 12, 15 carry a game mode, and Deion Lewis is the guy that's the go-to guy?
Well, hey, great question, and I don't know the answer to that. And looking at the history of the guys putting this offense together, you could absolutely make the case that they'll at least be co-starters. Maybe it will be like one of those situations, you know, hot back matchups, whatever. I mean, I certainly don't look at this as straight up Derrick Henry 23 carries every game, Deion Lewis third down back. I think it's definitely more split up than that. So yeah, I mean, no question, it's going to be really interesting. What they do with this, with these two, how they use them, Derrick Henry, to me, their scheme fit is one thing, but it's also still how he runs that is going to help dictate this. And I know, like you said, you got a lot of listeners who are Alabama fans, and he was a great player at Alabama, and you saw how great he can be in that playoff game against Kansas City. But in the two games sandwiching that game, you saw a guy who going to east and west, and they need him to be north and south consistently. So I think some of this is also on him, but there's no question that Derrick Henry's potential as a guy who can be a power back, a home run back, a guy who just wears defenses down, remains high.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the thing. He does need to be north and west all the time, north and west. Sometimes in his, you almost think in his body, he thinks of himself as a little bit of a scat back, but or north and south, I should say. North and west would be kind of weird. I don't know how you would do that, but he does see
the corner of the end zone.
You know, but the guy, and look, Danny Canales says a lot of stupid things. But let's just, you know, he made the comment that he doesn't think that Derrick Henry can be a feature guy because he doesn't have that breakaway speed. You know, and I'm like, what the hell are you watching? I mean, if that guy gets into the second level, He's gone. First of all, DBs don't want to stand in front of it. And secondly, ask the Colts, ask the Chiefs, ask these other people if he has breakaway speed. I mean, that guy is deceptively fast. He will leave you in his dust. He's got that kind of speed to do something like that.
Well, he does, but also you don't have to be, you don't have to have that kind of speed to be a great or feature back. I mean, you know, right. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is really is not a breakaway speed guy, but he's an incredible runner who gets 4 yards when there's two and 12 when there's five. So, I mean, you know, that's, I mean, the breakaway speed thing to me is not the most important aspect of being a primary back. Leonard Fournette, same thing in Jacksonville. So, but yeah, you're right. When he gets in the clear, it's incredible how fast he is when he gets going. You know, even in that Jacksonville game, which he didn't run the ball well, you know, he had the first touchdown of the game that took a little screen pass and just it was over. So, yeah, no, I think he has all the tools to be great.
Yeah. Joe Rexrode with us from the Tennessean talking some Titans here. Ndamukong Suh, I mean, the first thing that jumped off the page at me about Ndamukong Suh is that he's 31. It just seems like he was playing at Nebraska yesterday, you know, and for the amount of money that he pulled out of Miami, really didn't have the production that you would have thought. I mean, he was outstanding at Detroit, had his moments of negativity, but he was, you know, it wasn't great for Miami. Where are the Titans on Ndamukong Suh, and would he fit with the culture? Would he fit with what they want to do defensively? Just talk about him a little bit. I know you wrote about him, but talk about him a little bit as to, you know, what the possibilities are of him coming to Nashville.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're definitely very much interested in him, and they're in this thing. And you know, he met with them a few days ago, and I get the sense that, you know, it was probably kind of a two-way meeting. Obviously, you're courting a free agent, you're trying to tell them all about what you have going on. But I think the Titans wanted to check him out too, because, you know, again, like, and I wrote about this today at Tennessean.com a little bit about the negativity about Suh leaving Miami. And you know, I watched closely when he was in Detroit. I know everybody covered him basically. And, you know, there are some people who are absolute just bad dudes who are terrible in a locker room. You want nothing to do with them. Doesn't matter how good they are. They're going to mess up a locker room. Then there are people like Suh who maybe they're not the most popular guy, or maybe people suspect them of being a little bit selfish or whatever, but it's not like they're a big problem. And that's the category I believe he falls into from everything I've been able to gather. And to me, that's not a deterrent. You know, and you're right, Tom, he didn't have the production of Detroit. He's not, to me, like in 2014, I think he was the most dominant defensive player in the NFL right before he signed with Miami. And he hasn't been that, but he's still one of the most dominant guys out there. And
yeah,
whether he gets the tackle or sack or not, I mean, he demands two blockers. And so I think with him as an end in this 3-4 and working in tandem with Jarrell Casey, and now you've shored up the secondary, I mean, I think your defense could make a dramatic jump if you're able to get him. And, of course, again, that's assuming he fits in well and all that. But I think it's a strong locker room here, and I really don't think that stuff is a concern. The concern is, like you said, he's 31. What's the price tag? And then is that worth it? But I think if he's serious about the Titans, then this could be a big deal for them.
You know, he reminds me in a lot of ways, and I don't mean just negatively, but he reminds me in a lot of ways of Albert Haynesworth. And Albert, and full disclosure, I did a player's show with Albert for 2 years, and I got to know him as to be a much more decent guy than a lot of people thought. But those 2 years that Albert Haynesworth was playing for money, you know, his last 2 years in Nashville when he was playing for a contract, he was the most dominant defensive lineman in the NFL. He put three defensive backs in the Pro Bowl in 1 year because he was so disruptive up front. Those guys all owed him a debt of gratitude, you know, when that went down. But then he got paid, went to Washington, was in the wrong system, got disinterested, and he'll tell you to his face, he'll tell you to anybody who'll listen, that he should have never left Nashville. You know, he should have never left Tennessee. That was the right place for him. I wonder about Suh. Now, he was more productive with Miami than Albert was after he left Nashville. But I wonder with Suh whether he ever thinks that, you know what, I should have figured out a way to make it work in Detroit, and you know, and that he should still be there, you know, wrecking havoc up there.
Yeah, probably. You know, obviously things didn't work well down there. But I think the biggest thing is, I mean, he got a huge payday, no question. But I still got the sense that even then, he thought that would be, I think when you're in Detroit long enough, you kind of realize this franchise is just doomed.
Yeah.
You know? And I get the sense now that he sees his age, he sees the clock, and sure, he wants to get paid, of course. I mean, anybody should in the NFL, but I get the sense that he's trying to find a place where he can really make a run at something, at some winning. I mean, he's never won a playoff game, 16-71 in his career. So, you know, again, to me, like, just the fact that, or that the appearance that that is a high priority for him here should ease some of the concerns about him. Now, of course, if you're the Titans and you're in on this, I mean, you know, the Rams, they have a lot of cap room too, and that's an awfully intriguing place. You can look at what they did. They traded for, they got Tlaib, they got Peters. Of course, they have Aaron Donald up front, Jared Goff in the offense. I mean, I could see that being a very attractive situation for him as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to those two. And at some point, I mean, you can't get into, like, some ridiculous bidding war. You got Taylor Lewan to pay and then Marcus Mariota after that.
Yeah. Your buddy Jason Wolf threw some interesting names out there of other free agents potentially that the Titans should be looking at. One, Jordan Matthews, a Valley guy, a Tennessee Valley guy, who, of course, was outstanding at Vanderbilt. And then his first couple of years was really, really good in the NFL. You think about a guy like that and what he could bring to the table, you wonder if that would be an interesting addition to those wide receivers. And then, of course, the Colin Kaepernick question, which, again, I don't think anybody wants the aggravation. And God forbid Marcus Mariota had a couple of bad games, and then people start saying, do you put Kaepernick in? You know, I just think he has to go. If Kaepernick ever comes back in the league, he's got to go someplace where there is an established starter where he can compete, because otherwise people are going to be calling for him, and it puts too much noise on your starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's. I guess I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, I guess. I mean, but to me, Kaepernick's just in that terrible gray area where obviously he's good enough to have a job, and he's not. He doesn't because of his views and what he's done. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. You know, he's good enough to be one of the better backups. Only, I don't, how many teams would he, if none of this had happened, how many teams would have Colin Kaepernick, could he start for? I don't think it's too many, you know? I mean, I think he's right in that fringe area, but I mean, the more this goes, I just think that all these teams are so freaked out about ticking off their fan bases that he's just, you know, he's nuclear. It's like, you know, nuclear waste or something. You can't touch him, you know? I mean, it's just, he's untouchable right now. I think that's how these teams all look at it. Whether it's actual collusion or not, I think they're all freaked out individually about their fan bases. And so I don't think that would happen. And the Titans have already, I know, looked at him and determined that they didn't think that much of him as a quarterback, or at least that's, you know, the word now.
Right.
You know, I'm sure he has been downgraded as a player because of all these other things. But no, you bring up an interesting point. I mean, obviously the backup QB is very important, and Jordan Matthews is an intriguing name at receiver. You know, it makes sense. There was a lot of talk about them maybe trying to get into the stakes for one of these higher priced guys like a Watkins or something, but to me, that would almost be like saying that your number five pick from a year ago, you've already, you know, sort of not given up, but you already maybe think less of Corey Davis. I mean, you know, their receiving core with Tajae Sharpe coming back should be able to take a pretty sizable step this next year. But a guy like Matthews, you know, that would be, to me, a really nice addition and make you feel really good about number three.
And ever since Vrabel got the job, most of the mock drafts that I looked at seem to have the Titans taking a linebacker. Now, that's a need. That's a legit need. I think it's added by the fact that Vrabel is there and that he, you know, obviously he's going to value a linebacker maybe a little bit different than others. But where do you, if you, from a position standpoint, I don't care who the names are, from a position standpoint, where do you think the Titans go with their pick in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to answer that until we know exactly how this all, because to me, you know, obviously, you know, Carl Klug, they let him go. I'm a little surprised by that. I'm not at all surprised about Sly Williams. He, you know, just did not work out at all last year. I can't remember watching him make a play last year. But now they're, you know, they're thin up there. So if they got a Sue, now, okay, they feel great about where things are. But if not, I would think that, you know, the D-line is, you know, a priority. Like I said, linebacker, Williamson's gone. And, of course, there's other, you know, free agents out there too, a Bowman or something like that. But, I mean, not knowing that, it's hard to say. I guess I always thought that some sort of a an outside linebacker pass rusher would make sense if there's a good one there. Because Arakpo and Morgan, or Derek Morgan, Brian Arakpo, are older, and because Kevin Dodd at this point has not worked out at all. And then, you have the interior of the offensive line as well. They're keeping those guys, but I still think they want to upgrade there. That to me, is probably more like a third, fourth-round priority. But it's going to be interesting. You know, at some point, if you're a team that you feel like you're close and you don't have that many holes, you probably draft more for need than best available. You know, but you know, I could see it going a number of different ways at this point.
Finally, I'm a uniform geek, so I'm waiting with bated breath to see what Nike did to this Titan uniform. And I'll be honest with you, I like the original uniform. I like the white pants and the dark blue jerseys, and I like the dark pants and with the white jerseys and on the road. And the powder blue's okay, but I call that oiler blue. I call the dark blue Titan blue. You know, I hope it's more Titans and less. But what do you think, man? What do you? I mean, we're not going to see like red jerseys with silver numbers and silver pants. And I mean, do you think it's drastic or do you think it's going to be subtle?
You know, it sounds like it's going to be kind of drastic. I mean, just the way it's been built up, and I don't have a source on this thing, but just the way it's being expressed to me makes me think it's going to be more than just changing a few things around with the same color scheme. Maybe I'm wrong, but I agree with you that, you know, on one hand, like the Oiler blue to me, I mean, that harkens back to the history of the franchise, but, you know, maybe this is the chance to start to make a clean break from that. But I would agree that like the idea of going completely different to me would seem very weird, but yeah. I hate all the uniform stuff, especially like the college alternative uniforms. But I must say, I'm kind of intrigued by what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I'm very interested in it. And Amy Strunk had said it's unlike anything else in the NFL, which scares me because I like the Packers and the 49ers and the Giants. I mean, I like football uniforms that look like the Cowboys. You know, there's a reason why those teams, you know, look so perfect when they're on the field together. And he's a lot of the you know, what the Browns did and what the Jags were wearing and some of this other stuff. It gets worse and worse. It looks worse than arena football. And you know, so I'm hoping that they didn't do something too stupid. It would. Although the flaming thumbtack could go. I really hope to see the sword on the helmet. We'll see what it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing the unveiling on Broadway, so man, they must feel pretty good about it.
They must feel good about it. So we'll see. All right, they won't be selling any tomatoes or anything that day on Broadway, though, just in case, I think, but we'll see. All right, Joe, I appreciate you, man. Great work at the Tennessean, and we'll talk again.
Okay, appreciate it, Tom. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Let's get a break. It's Tom Abraham Show,
730-1039. Yep. WUMP Sports Radio, The Op.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Dell Small Business. Talk to a Dell Small Business tech advisor. LeBron James goes off again in a win over Milwaukee last night, 40, 12, and 10. But even those numbers and a win take a backseat to a note in a piece by Brian Windhorst for ESPN. Quote, James gained 7 pounds during an Eastern Conference Finals game. End quote. You heard me right. He gained 7 pounds. Not lost, but gained. I've heard of guys losing a ton of weight during a game, but I've never heard of anyone piling on the pounds during a game. You can try and debunk this story all you want, but I'm not hearing it. Forget the 3 rings, the 4 MVPs. It's the 7 pounds in one game that make him the GOAT. Mike never did that. Kobe never did that. No one ever has except LeBron, so that should effectively end the GOAT argument right there. I'm Jim Rome.
If you run a small business, you know there's nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. Get the latest technology, like Dell laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, with free shipping and a price match guarantee, you know you're always getting the best deal. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When you call a play, you have to know your player can execute. Of course, the same goes for tools. As a do-it-yourselfer, you need to know your tools will get the job done. Well, good news. O'Reilly Auto Parts is holding their Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. That may sound like a mouthful, but that's because there's a wide selection of Power Torque Tools on sale right now that are guaranteed for life. Shop any of the 5,000 O'Reilly Auto Parts locations or check them out online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text WEALTH to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited. Text WEALTH to 82,000 right now because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Text WEALTH to 82,000. That's WEALTH to 82,000.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudette from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
You work all day, then go home and make dinner. That's not fair, because making your dinner, that's our job. We don't work all day, then go home and do your job. So stop doing ours. Head into Buffalo Wild Wings for America's favorite wings, with 21 sauces and seasonings to take your dinner from mild to wild. But don't worry, we're dinner pros. If things get too wild, we've got dozens of beers on tap to bail out your palate. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Please drink responsibly.
Many websites selling medication may look professional and legitimate, but the vast majority of sites selling prescription drugs are doing so illegally. Have you seen websites that don't require a prescription or offer to ship medicine internationally? Then you've seen a rogue website. Often they sell fake meds with too little, too much, or no medicine at all. Criminals use websites to sell counterfeit medications that may contain life-threatening toxins. Dot Pharmacy is a website verification program that helps you identify safe and trustworthy online pharmacies. You know where .com is located in a website address, right? That's where you'll find Dot Pharmacy. And because it's part of a website address, Dot Pharmacy cannot be faked. Think that a seal on a website means safety? Only Dot Pharmacy websites are fraud-proof. Purchasing medicine online doesn't have to mean risking your health. Finding a safe online pharmacy is easy. Just look for pharmacy to the right of the dot in website addresses. A public service message from the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy.
A breezy and cold afternoon, cloudy with a chance of some light rain at times, temperatures falling through the 40s. For tonight, gradual clearing, the low at 33, then rain-free weather tomorrow and Thursday, the sky mostly sunny both days, the high tomorrow 55, the high Thursday at 60. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Did you hear this? That UCF says that their kind of almost quasi-national championship was worth $200 million in exposure in the last couple of months, the whole bit of going undefeated and then, you know, claiming a national championship and all that other kind of stuff. It makes you wonder that maybe that AD Mike White, you know, everybody was ridiculing him. Maybe he's crazy like a fox, huh? $200 million in advertising, free advertising exposure for UCF.
That's, my God, that's absurd. I figured it would be a lot, but I didn't know it would be like that.
Yeah.
At least they want something.
Did. Yeah. Well, what's it worth to the other teams? Well, you know, we've always said, too, that, you know, a solid football program. Everybody talked about, you know, how ridiculous it is to pay Nick Saban what the what the Tide pays Nick Saban, but their enrollment is up 80% of what it was before Nick Saban. So what are all those kids paying all that money to go to Alabama? What's that worth? A hell of a lot more than the $9 or $10 or $11 million that you end up paying Nick Saban. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back with more right after this. Ken Cross talking college hoop next, right here on 730-1039 AM.
The Ump. More sports.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention, if you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-360-4612. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now. 800-360-4612. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-360-4612. That's 800-360-4612.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
Hi, I'm Janelle Hale, founder and CEO of the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Early detection saved my life. It could save yours too. I was only 34 years old and the mother of three when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was forced to make a decision about my health with few options. After my treatment, I made a commitment to provide help and inspire hope to those affected by breast cancer through early detection, education, and support services. I was fortunate to have resources and support through my journey, but so many facing breast cancer have to overcome the burdens of cost and fear alone. No one should face breast cancer alone. Today, NBCF has provided over 1 million early detection and patient navigation services so that women in need have access to these potentially life-saving resources. To learn what every woman needs to know about breast cancer, visit nbcf.org.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says I'm a catch more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here is the president of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
There are 143 million orphans in the world today, and another child becomes an orphan every 2 seconds. Food for Orphans is helping to end that suffering. Every dollar donated provides 2.5 meals, and every $100 will provide a meal to 200...
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.